Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Jesus, today, Lord, we want to learn something. We want to capture something about this, the really blessing of believing in Jesus. Lord, we sing this song here, Lord, I believe in you, but today we're going to take it to a deeper level. We're going to take it to the place where we realize what a blessing it is just to believe in you. And how many more people we could bring to that particular experience if we just allow you to just take over our lives, take over everything that's about us. And Lord, this is kind of a gimme. The Christmas season is kind of a gimme on that, because some people, regardless of all the other stuff, they'll stop to think about you. Lord, help us to be the one that will point them to the blessing there is in knowing you. Holy Spirit, direct my conversation with this congregation today to the point where they will find a new anchor in knowing that Jesus is the one we all need, love, and should adore. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You know, far too familiar is the saying, seeing is believing. Matter of fact, the idea behind it is that because of technology and because of advanced scientific research that has moved from what was thought impossible to the realm of creating new realities and possibilities that were unheard of, that knowledge and information that can be accessed from this. You want to know it? I found out all I have to do is talk to this thing. Where do I find such and such? It tells me. And so, and I never, ever, would you have believed this would be? You know, back in the, I mean, I've been around this planet for almost 70 years. I'm thinking, I mean, the telephone was a mystery to me, so. I mean, the one that you dialed, you know. And when they got push button, we really arrived. Push them buttons, mash them buttons, said, ooh, yeah. And then when you got your own party line with nobody else on it, oh, honey, you were kicking, okay? Anyway, knowledge and information can be accessed by talking into handheld computers, and it has somehow hijacked our ability to stand in awe in the wonder of the kingdom of God and the importance of Jesus coming to restore us back to relationship with the Father. Amen. Somehow it's just, whatever. Three things we'll talk about today. Number one, does the wonder and majesty of Christmas get lost in the preparation, purchasing of gifts, and navigation of trying to connect with so many family members and friends? Thank goodness I'm not in the corporate world like you folks and go to office party after office party after office party. But that doesn't matter. Somehow it gets lost, and the blessing of knowing Jesus is kind of buried underneath all that stuff. How about number two? Will you take the opportunity to pause and allow your spirit to rejoice over the coming of Jesus to bring you into relationship with the Father? Because that's really what it's all about. And I used to be one of those people, wow, we should stop all the toys. I used to be the Grinch. You know. Oh, come on, you were too. But then I found out there's so much more behind it than the gifts and all the glitter and that kind of stuff. But somehow, how do you convey that? How do you speak to people? How do you let them know? How about this? Will you take the time to personalize the coming of Christ into your own life as God's perfect, irreplaceable gift? Perfect, irreplaceable, incompatible. Well, here we go. I'm going to go to a scripture that you say, well, how is he going to fit this in? Well, here we go. John chapter 20, verse 29 through 31. It's an important scripture. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in his name. Wow. Thomas wasn't too far removed from some of us, because until we get that particular thing that we're looking for, or that particular thing that you know, until, you know, the Lord heals my marriage, or he brings my wandering son back home, or until he gets me a better job, or unless he gives me the awesome number 10 wife I've been looking for, I won't believe him. You are shallow hell. God doesn't have to prove anything to you. The fact that you're here is a miracle. And in fact, for some of you still to be here is a miracle. You deserved an early exit, but that's another story, okay? Well, Mary was highly favored by God because she had made a choice to believe the word of the Lord through the angel that was sent to her. Luke chapter 1, verses 42 to 45. Pastor Paul did a great job exegeting this last week. I want to just kind of come back to that point again. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Do you realize how blessed we are just to be able to assemble and to worship God? Come on. That's an amazing thing. And I'm not trying to just capitalize on Christmas, but I'm telling you this. The fact is that because she made a choice to believe, this whole conversation she's having with Elizabeth is taking place. Well, number one, belief is always a choice. Now, some people will choose to believe a lie, but it's still a choice. So, well, does that count? Uh-huh. And some of the lies you believe will find you in a destination that you really don't want to go to. But the deal behind that is it's always a choice. And on top of that, our choice is to believe. To believe is often affected by the way we process information. And there are cult leaders and there's all kinds of crazy things going on in this world. You say, how could they possibly believe that? That makes absolutely no sense. Really? To you? But their processor comes up with something totally different. And here's the thing. We have the opportunity to tell people the truth. We know the truth. I'm wondering, why don't we tell folks the truth? We are so critical of folks. Why, they're believing, you know, that in this, and they're believing in that, and we know that's not true. How will they know unless you tell them? Santa Claus does not exist. The Tooth Fairy never did exist. I don't care if you got $5 under your pillow. It wasn't the Tooth Fairy. It was your mama. I know. I'm sorry for you folks who are raising your kids like that. I mean, come on. Get over it. Stop the nonsense. And let's talk about things that are worth believing in. Mary chose to believe an angel that gave her a message that she was favored and blessed. But how that was processed is pretty amazing. The favor of God rests upon those who choose to believe. And when we choose to believe, it does not have to be with blind faith. Well, isn't what it is? We're just kind of, you know, remember the little rhyme, when you wish upon a star, it won't get you very far. I know they didn't tell you that. But it's not with blind faith. If you're sitting here in this auditorium today and say, well, we're just believing in Jesus and hoping for the best, you got the wrong Jesus. You got the wrong message. Because in the same way that Brother Lee talked about light, Jesus is the light of the world. We were in darkness until Jesus came, and he brought the light, and light dispels darkness. Doesn't matter if this room were pitch black right now and somebody lit a match, I'm sorry, darkness leaves. There's no argument. I don't think I want to leave. I'm staying here. I was here first. Forget it. Light says, out of here. There's no argument when the light comes to the room. Jesus is light. Well, Mary asked the right questions when the angel approached her. One of the questions she had to resolve, she says, how can this be? Since I know where babies come from, and I haven't been in that particular, haven't experienced that particular relationship. You know, you can ask questions without questioning. When you're questioning God, you have no right to question God. But then the perfect answer comes. The perfect answer for everything is the Holy Spirit will come upon you and change everything you knew from that point to another paradigm of thinking. And that's what needs to happen. That's how the rebirth of Jesus happens in people's lives. That all of a sudden the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit and he transforms you from a disbeliever to a believer because there's been a great change in your spirit that you've brought from death unto life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. That's what happens. Well, the doubting Thomas syndrome often is driven by those who are looking for answers to questions that put man in the place of authority with God having to prove his power and authority. That was Thomas's problem. When you go back to this particular reference that we start out with at first, Thomas had this issue, he says, and he had heard from other disciples that they'd seen, just, I won't believe till I put my finger in the nails of his hands and I put my hand aside. I will not believe. Oh, really? And Jesus shows up, and something happens. Our arrogance and our preponderance of having to be proven things will pale in the presence of Jesus. Once you're confronted with truth, and once you see truth right in front of you, all of a sudden all your questions, all your ideologies, all your philosophies will just crumble. But anyway, doubting Thomas wanted to believe, but here's the thing. He was hindered by what he believed was possible in the physical realm. And that's what happens to people that you need to take the message to. They have got this whole thing figured out. Well, how can you be born again? I mean, you're only born once, right? Well, Nicodemus thought that. And so it just kind of, how can I, a wretched, low-life sinner who's been addicted to this or that or whatever thing, how can I change that? I have tried. I've gone to therapy. I've gone to groups and this type of thing, and it won't let go of me. We process things in the realm of what we know. But here's the thing that's beautiful, is even though he may have heard the words of Jesus regarding his death and resurrection, he chose to rely upon his own experience to interpret Jesus' ability to be God in the flesh. You can hear my message and you'll go home and say, I got some ideas. That's a good food for thought. No, it's not. It's transformational if you allow the Holy Spirit to take hold of it. Some people come to a church and they analyze it. I could really believe that if I hadn't been taught in class that those things are positively impossible. Irrelevant, it's material. I mean, really, we're human beings. God gave us a brain. We've got to process information on the basis of our postulates of the way we live our lives. You're a knucklehead. And you're not that smart. The blessing and believing in the Word of God will far surpass anything that we can come with on our own. Somebody say amen there. That's a good spot. Well, here we go. When we choose to withhold our confidence in the Word of God until it meets our litmus test, we will never enter into a real relationship with God. I got to repeat that for those slow learners. Here we go. When we choose to withhold our confidence in the Word of God until it meets our litmus test. So what is your test? What is your filter? What is your filter that all things have to be satisfied before you can believe? Look a bit further. The entire ministry of Jesus is based upon promises on words spoken by Jesus. And you know what? He's never, ever broken a promise. Only one left. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. You know, that could happen any time now, especially in the state of the world. Ooh, honey. It won't take long. But even for those who are struggling with that, when Jesus was leaving here, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places or many mansions, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be there also. That's a promise. Now, I know you hear that a lot of memorial services and funeral services, but I don't think that was Jesus' intent, because his disciples were really, really worried because they never experienced the fact of someone that's going to die and be resurrected. It's going to come again. Let me help you with that in this next few moments to really build something into your spirit. When Thomas withheld his belief in Jesus until he could actually experience Jesus on his own terms, he forfeited the greatest blessing of walking in the favor of God by trusting his words delivered by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus doesn't make it easy. Matter of fact, he didn't back down from Thomas. There's one little part in that scripture that I think is just so important, that Jesus doesn't hold back and say, well, I know, Thomas, you make mistakes and you're a little confused, and we know that you were having a rough time. But he says this. He says, and Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Every person in this room is blessed. Do you know that? Every single one of you. You say, how can I be blessed? Because you haven't seen him, but you believe him. You say, how do you know? Because the Holy Spirit, when he's come upon me, he changed me in a way that nobody else could change me. See, when people respond to an altar call, I think some people just say, oh, they're coming down there so they can feel better. No, honey, they're coming down there to get saved. This isn't a feeling that kind of wears off. When you are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know something's happened to you. There's something that you didn't believe before, but all of a sudden there's life and light that's in your spirit like you've never known it before. That's the blessing. Let me unpack a little bit more of this. So when Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, she carried the blessing of the Holy Spirit living in her in the presence of Jesus. Now let's get a little biological or physiological or wherever you want to do it. Mary is pregnant with Jesus. How many of you know and believe that when there's a connection that realizes life at birth or at conception, life starts at conception? So when she received the word of the Holy Spirit within her, Jesus was alive in her. Now let me tell you this. When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit alive in you, Jesus is alive in you. Now all of a sudden it doesn't seem so mystical, does it? But this is the physiological thing, and you say, well, how do you parallel that? Well, stay with me for a few minutes. The supernatural presence of God was released upon Elizabeth, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:41. This is the part that will shake you up. Luke 1:41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She said, oh, this is scary. Now remember, Jesus is living inside of Mary at this point. And all she's saying, Elizabeth, you here, girl? You here in the house? And all of a sudden, whoa, Jesus. She felt something like she never felt. Oh, my God. And all she did was say, hi. I want to tell you about the power of God. When Jesus lives inside of you, can cause people to feel life like they've never experienced before. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So really? Yeah, really. And so, her cousin Elizabeth, who's expecting a child, was quickened by the words of her. Here's what the Bible says. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Is that the word of God? In other words, it's not you just have to stand back and say, well, you know, we're just hoping that we'll have some sort of experience with Jesus. Even if it's nothing. Oh, honey, you're an explosion ready to happen. The words that come out of your mouth can mean life or death to someone you come in contact with. That's the reason why it's so important for you to stay in tune with the Spirit of God. To stay in tune in right relationship with God. Do you know anytime you go sideways or you kind of run off the rails, you derail yourself from being effectively bringing Jesus to situations where his presence is necessary? You can't live all loose and crazy and sideways and going your own way. I don't know whether I'm helping you, rebuking you, or whatever, but I want to tell you, it's important for you to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. But you know what Mary did? All she did was show up. She didn't come in. She didn't come into Elizabeth's house and say, girl, I'm going to lay hands on you. She didn't do that. All she did was spoke the word. And Jesus was manifest. That's incredible. Well, even though Jesus was not seen, the presence of the Holy Spirit was very much alive, and Mary was transferred. There was a transfer through her to those who were around her, including Elizabeth and her son John, that was to be born. A couple other things are important. The blessing of believing releases the power of the Lord, of the word of the Lord, over our lives and the people that are around us. And that's, of course, verse 45, and it says, blessed is he who believes, for there will be fulfillment of those things that were told her from the Lord. Truth is in you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that will bring freedom to people that are around you. That doesn't mean everybody's a prophet, but it does mean this, that everyone who lives under the power of the Holy Spirit has the ability to release a word from God that will bring freedom for people they're meeting with. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. That's what it means that you're on your job and, you know, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes, or as the Holy Spirit prompts you, he'll give you an accurate word and you'll say, you know, I feel or I believe that such and such should happen, and it's the exact word of the Lord for that particular person. That's where all salvation is really occurs. Well, here we go. Believing Jesus, a couple other things. Mary was guided by the Spirit to go and release this to Elizabeth, and she had to do, all she had to do was show up, and obviously the power of the Holy Spirit, her willingness to show up and release the power of God was a witness of God's greatness. And when we are directed by the Lord to do things, we must be willing to be a blessing in a manner that God will choose. Ever thought you're going to be a blessing to somebody and ruin everything? I know you don't want to admit it, but we will admit it for you. I didn't mean it to turn out that way. It just turned out it was a disaster. I know, because your plans aren't really that good. Because it really put, when you're in the center, oh honey, it's all bets are off. It could get crazy. But when we allow Jesus to be in the center, it will always work out the way it's supposed to. Believing in Jesus will magnify his presence in our lives. Well, verses 47 through 50 says this, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth All generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. This is a big piece to unpack, but we're going to unpack it right now. We declare God the greatness of the Lord when we choose to obey the Holy Spirit when he tells us to do something. Now, here's something very practical. That's your question. Why are you here today? You say, well, I know why I'm here. Because Sunday, I go to church on Sunday. You know something? There's more to it than that. You say, well, I'm here because somebody invited me. There's more to it than that. Well, I'm here because I feel guilty when I don't go to church. There's more to it than that, I hope. You are here today because you responded to something from God that this is where you're supposed to be. You may have never been here before in your life, but somehow God placed you in this particular place to hear a word from him to encourage you to believe in Jesus on a level that you never have before. That's the reason why you're here. So don't pat yourself on the back. You don't get any extra points for this. There's no stars on your little chart in heaven. You may hear, well, Sarah's here today. Let's give her, Gabriel put her a gold star. She's a good girl. Really? Mary made the choice to magnify the Lord inside of her, even though it would defy all earthly explanation. Mary took the greatest risk there is. And so will you. She's about to accept, or she did accept, the challenge of becoming pregnant with no proof of the daddy, other than, in fact, her word. Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to conceive and bring forth the Son of God. Oh, it gets worse as the conversation goes on. I'm going to get pregnant. I can handle that. And it's going to be the Son of God. That's over the edge. How do you tell your father, Dad, an angel came to me last night, came into my room, and said, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And he asked permission that the Holy Spirit would come upon me, that I would have a baby. And he's going to be the Son of God. Oh boy. I want to tell you, if Mary was able to deliver that message to her daddy, you ought to be able to deliver that message to somebody you don't even know. Because you may never see him again. She had to deal with her daddy. You know what I'm saying? We sometimes get this thing out of kilter. God is doing some amazing things. But we have to get in lockstep with what the Holy Spirit is actually asking us to do. So she took the risk of presenting herself to, at this point, to a close relative who could have rejected her and her story about the child she was carrying. Because I know, no doubt, before she got to see her cousin Elizabeth, heard it through the grapevine. Mary's having the baby, and she thinks it's the Son of God. But I'll tell you what, by the time that girl arrived on the scene, she says, I don't know who she's carrying, but honey, whatever she's carrying, it's got a hold to me. See, don't worry about all the other stuff. I feel you got to explain away everything. Just be who God has called you to be. To show up and let the manifestation of God come through your life. Well, instead of rejection, she received validation of the blessing for herself and the one she was carrying. You know, sometimes we experience rejection before we even get there. Well, I know she's not going to believe me. I know she's not going to like me. I don't know whether she might not even let me in and this type of thing. You know who tells you that? The devil. That's the reason why people don't come to Jesus as much. Because we hear in our head, well, people aren't going to believe you. You're just an unbelievable person. And we are so pitifully afraid of rejection. Really? If you really knew how many people didn't like you, I think you... So don't worry about it. Right now you think everybody ought to like you. You're kidding yourself. They stayed away from people like you all their lives, and here you come. They said, I don't have a lofty opinion of myself. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you will set yourself up in situations where you know there's a greater possibility of you being accepted than it will be of you being rejected. That's how we live as human beings. But here comes Mary into a situation, and all she does is she shows up. She realizes the blessing of obedience would be a blessing for generations that would follow after her. You know what? Don't live your life just for you. Live your life in such a way that the generations that follow you will be blessed. I'm going to say it again. Live your life in such a way that people that follow after you will be blessed. It shouldn't terminate when you go in the grave. The legacy that each one of us would want to leave behind us is a legacy of people coming to Jesus because of the way we lived our lives. Otherwise, it's kind of pointless, I would think. So Mary found the blessing in fearing the Lord and finding mercy and strength to do his will. She forsook the pride of control over her life by submitting to the word of the Lord for her future, and she received the message of the angel that gave her Holy Spirit permission. And she was willing to suffer whatever consequences and doubts that were raised because she forsook pride. Because here's what she says, and allowed the lowliness of her estate to be exalted by the Holy Spirit. I don't know all the logistics, or I've read many books about Mary and this type of thing. And her age, they say, is somewhere between 13 and 17 years old. And, you know, and she wasn't from a rich family. But you know what's interesting? God chose her. You know what's even better than that? As regards to what you've done, where you've been, how you behave, God chooses you. Did you know there's nothing you can do that will make God hate you? What? Some of you sit here under a boatload of guilt of choices you made throughout your life, and I'll even go into the list. You've got the list pretty well memorized. But you know today can change the whole atmosphere or your whole profile before the Lord. Well, this is the part I love. Luke chapter 1, verse 53 through 55. I'm going to read from up here as you look at it. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he sent away empty. You know why he sent the rich away empty? Because they feel like they got it all anyway. They don't need nothing. Do you realize how many billionaires have been created in the last 10 years? Do you know there's more billionaires created in the last 10 years than there has been in the whole history of since time has been kept? Are they any happier? No. We say, well, if I had even half of their money. Do you know it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment? It doesn't matter how much money you have. When you go on the ground, somebody else going to drive your car, sleep in your bed. You know? I mean, really? Let me read a little bit more about this. He said, the rich way empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And that to me is a huge statement, because Israel had issues, big time. And God was faithful to them regardless to all the crazy things he did. I mean, I don't have time to rehearse all the things he did, but God, when he makes a promise, he keeps his promise, even when you go crazy. And so, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed, read that last word. No, read it again. You know what that means? It means forever. God doesn't change his mind. It's locked in. Well, Mary embraced the hunger of her soul. The good things that Mary experienced were the result of her being willing to believe in something that she had never seen before. You say, well, this sounds like a salvation message. Not necessarily. It is food to your soul today that you'll never have to walk down the road of doubt as to whether or not Jesus is who he says he is. Because you'll never be accurately be able to portray Jesus to anybody until you've got that pretty much solidified in your own soul. And so it's food for the soul to realize that he's done these things. And so the good things that she experienced was a result of her being willing to believe in something that she'd never experienced before. I'd like to say this much. The good things that God has in store for us are dependent upon us being willing to believe in something that has not yet been revealed. I don't think there's a person in this room that doesn't want to be successful. Matter of fact, you've got that kind of daunting thing in your spirit that says, well, as soon as I get to this particular place, or as soon as I get a better job, as soon as I get this other thing, my life will be so much better. What about now? Can I deal with your now? If Jesus doesn't do another thing for you, are you willing to serve him for the rest of your life? If he doesn't change your financial situation, if he doesn't change the emotional things you're going through, are you willing to serve him for the rest of your life? Because we've got this thing out in front of us. As soon as he does that, then I'm in all the way. I'm all feet in. I'm ready to do everything God wants me to do. As soon as God meets my particular standard, then I'm with you. I'm there, Daddy. I'm there. Really? That's not believing in Jesus. Can I not digress, I guess, but bring us to the point of reality. When I see some of the believers in various, they call them camps of Christians over there in Syria and this type of thing, they've been displaced and they're the lowest of the lowest people and they get very little help from various foreign agencies. And these people have been really, you know, hammered and left abandoned because they believe in Jesus. And, you know, of course, the Muslims and different other people in this culture is a little small group of folks. And it'd be easy for them to say, you know, I'm bagging this Jesus thing so I can get food for my kids. I'm bagging this Jesus thing so I can get a better position in this particular refugee camp. And there's something within them that they won't let go of. And that thing that's got a hold of them needs to get a hold of you. That you won't let go of who Jesus is to make your life better. Because you know what? This is temporary. None of us are going to be here forever. And I want to tell you something else that may shock you. None of us know how long we're going to be here. You may not make Christmas dinner. Pastor, that offends me. I ain't telling you nothing but truth. You've bought and sold your future, thinking you have one. I better get back to this. Some people are getting offended again. I can feel it. Well, even greater God's to do, God desires to do things that we've never seen or been done before. Very last place, God will allow us to receive even when we struggle with unbelief. That should be helpful for many of us. I'm going to go back to the first part of the story. chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Repeat after me. In God's time, it will happen. We got to get on the same time frame with God. That's for me and for you. Now, quickly, as I summarize this stuff, God desires to show us miraculous things that will defy our ability to comprehend. When we are caught up in doubt, God will deal with our inability to embrace his will and purpose. He'll help us with that. The things that we cannot fathom are no problem to the Lord. Do you think heaven has stopped because you can't get it? I love the way Gabriel handles the situation. How shall I know this is true? Who told you that was true? And do you realize how old my wife is? And her having a baby is absolutely ridiculous. Who made you an angel anyway? Let me see your wings. And besides, he put it off on her. She's well advanced in years. You ain't no spring chicken yourself. And you try to put it all off on Liz, like you some stud muffin of some sort. I don't know. Sorry about that if that hurts you. But it makes no sense. But I love the perfect answer. And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel. I was sent here to you, your pitiful self, who stands in the presence of God. And he sent me to speak to you to bring you these glad tidings." How many times have we blown off something that is a glad tidings for the Lord with our logical conclusion? Oh God, it would be great if so-and-so and so-and-so existed. Does God need your so-and-so and so-and-so? No, he doesn't. It's great. Receive it, believe it, and walk in it. We have missed more blessings from God trying to figure it out for him, and he's already got it figured out. And the miracle is he's decided to use you. That's laughable. When we get caught up in doubt, we deal with our inability to embrace his will and purpose. Things that we cannot fathom are no problem to the Lord, and God will graciously allow us an opportunity to see him work out the very things that we struggle with seeing come to pass. Just for a moment, I want you, as you sit in this room, and it won't take you hard to bring it up on the screen, I want you to bring up the number one thing you struggle with right now. Could be money, could be relationship, could be drugs, could be anything. I have a question for you. Do you think God doesn't know that? Well, do you think God doesn't know that? Here's the second part of the question. Do you think God can't handle that? Do you think his Holy Spirit is great and strong enough to take you from where you are to where you need to go? I want to change the way you think, the way you feel, the way you embrace reality to a place to allow God to do something in you today that has never been done before. I want to erase doubt from your mind of Jesus' ability to do exceedingly beyond what you could ask, think, or even imagine. The wall that you've built up or the belief system that you embrace right now that says this will never happen or I got to do this and this and this and this before this will change, I want to let you know it's not true. All you have to do is confess to God. Let it be according to the word that I've just heard for the last 44 minutes. That God can transform me from who I thought I was to who he wants me to be. Is your problem bigger than that? I don't think so. I believe that God, by his Holy Spirit, has come into this room to meet you at the crossroads of the reality of understanding that God can handle the things that you struggle with. Faith to believe in him that he can do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to let you know this is huge. This message is huge for probably half a dozen or more people in this room, because I don't think you had any idea when you walked in these doors that Jesus was going to meet you at this particular crossroads of your reality where you choose to believe God for something that you thought would never, ever happen. God loves you so much that he sent you to this place to hear a word that would say, you know, you don't have to struggle with that issue any longer. That God can deal with that. I need to tell you, when you surrender your life to the Holy Spirit, he rearranges the furniture. When you give him the right of way, he moves everything out of the way that will hinder you from believing in him, what God can do in any way, shape, or form. And right as you sit there right now, you say, I want you to just, in your head, or in your mind, in your spirit, say, God, I choose to believe you. I choose to believe that every mistake that I've made, every lie that I've told, every sin that I've committed, I choose to believe your word that says, if I confess my sin, you'll forgive me and you'll transform me and you'll make me brand new. For others of you that claiming to believe in Jesus, and I'm not questioning your belief in Jesus, but I will tell you this much. When you take doubt and fear and unbelief and they override your relationship with God, you're not in God's will. Because he's able to do exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or even imagine. I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I'm going to invite people in two categories today. But first of all, the most important category today is for people who have never really made that step. It says, I really choose to believe Jesus today. I want to learn more about him, but I'm going to take the basic step of believing in a person who would absolutely, by the Holy Spirit, come into the life of a young girl who was born, who preached, who died, who rose from the dead, and now is the Savior of the whole world. That's what I'm going to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every other name, oh God, I just feel your presence in such a strong way today. Because my unbelief, if I could confess it before this congregation, was that I didn't think I could make it through this message. But somehow, because of your grace and your mercy, you did that. And you did it for this reason. You did it to show me something that you're God, and you did it because people needed to hear your word that will change their life forever. So Lord, I pray right now for every man, every woman that's here today that needs to turn their life over to you and to believe that you're the one that can take care of any problem, any difficulty, any struggle, that can take away every sin quotient in their life and give them brand new life. Yes, Lord. I believe you can do that. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you choose to believe in Jesus today, I want you to lift your hand right now. Lift it up high where I can see it. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Lift it up high where I can see it. All over this building, do it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. You can put your hands down just for a moment. There are three more people here. They're struggling. And it's not you people that were lifting your hands. But I'm not, before we stand and sing, God's always been a God of second chance. I know the struggle's going on right now, but I rebuke the devil right now because he's held you long enough from really embracing the truth of Jesus. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. In a moment, we'll stand and we'll sing, and I'll ask you to come forward, and I'll be down here to meet you. But for those three people that says, you know, I really want to believe what he's saying, I want to tell you it's absolutely true, and this is the day that God has prepared for you to change your life. All heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you and you really want to change, lift your hand right now because Jesus really wants to do that for you.
Yeah. Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.